Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is the very blurry, but not for long.
We're good now.
Joe De Leon, good evening, good sir.
Technical difficulties have been avoided once again. Blake, we're still talking about coaching. How are we still talking about coaching moves and it's February? I mean, this is nuts that we've gotten to this point.
Yeah, UCLA hires officially their head coach today and Deshaun Foster, which we'll talk about. Colorado has hired their defensive coordinator, which we'll talk about. I'm sure that it's going to be very spirited, and I'm sure a lot of the real true Colorado fans
who have
always been Colorado fans will show up when we talk about their new DC here tonight, Joe. But another coaching thing too, Joe, that I get on these tangents and these rants, and I feel like sometimes I'm on an island. But one topic that we're adding in here too tonight too, Texas promotes Brandon Harris as their general manager. So many programs are going to are promoting general managers. I think it's a big deal in college athletics that nobody's talking about. I think everybody's like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. But nobody wants to break it down and talk about it, which we'll talk about a little bit here tonight too.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting discussion to have because originally one of the first guys that I can think of or one of the first programs that I can think of that did this was Vanderbilt of all places. Vanderbilt was one of the early adopters of this when Clark Lee was hired and he hired him. His name is escaping me. The guy that he hired to be his general manager.
Didn't it?
Yes. He hired him from 247 Sports, which is that in itself was a unique move to hire somebody from media who was a childhood friend of his. And then for Vanderbilt to be one of the early adopters, I'd love to know who was the first originator of this. It might be Vanderbilt,
but actually, it was Austin Thomas, who was at LSU, believe it or not, then went to Tennessee, then got fired. Okay. Immediately by Jeremy Pruitt, then went to Texas A&M and was with A&M with that great class. Mm. And then was with Lane Kiffin. Nat when Lane brought together this big-time transfer portal class. He was the first general manager of a football program.
But to that point, wait, was Billy Glasscock the guy that they just hired to be a part of that department, or is it a different?
Okay, if you have a name named Billy Glasscock,
the best name in sports. That's the best name in sports.
But how much do you think he was picked on as a kid?
I don't think it matters. I think he is the general manager. That man's a hero. That man is, this is the greatest personality in. I mean, if Billy Glasscock sent me a DM as an interested prospective recruit, I'm signing immediately. Come on. Do I need to elaborate any further on this?
Oh, my God.
But to this point, though,
it's amazing to find out what amuses you so much.
You say that's what she said like three times a show. So don't give me this shit.
I'm not signing on a dotted line to go play for a guy whose name is Glasscock.
Billy Glasscock, the first name really makes it.
The first of his name?
Yeah.
Founder of the Andals and the First Men? Is this like an episode of Game of Thrones?
Look, I was just trying to say, though, this is a really unique concept in college football to have somebody who manages the payments in a way, how much guys are getting paid, how much you can allot to certain players to remove and create a barrier between the head coach and the director of player personnel or whoever that is, I think is really important for success in college football. And more teams that want to have success need to continue to adopt front offices like this.
William Glasscock, hell of a name.
It's a great name. Sports guy gets it.
We'll talk about that, but I do think that we're trending to a place. Look, college football fans don't want to talk about, okay? But I think it's one of those things. Joe, this is another thing that for me, like I've been ranting on this, like I've been ranting on the whole Tennessee thing, which, by the way, to the Tennessee fans that are in our comments, I do not apologize.
Wait, what are they mad about now? They've been like upset over everything.
They're upset that they think that I am taking the NCAA side here, which
clearly didn't listen to the whole segment.
They clearly didn't listen to the whole segment. But I, Joe, I just get to a place where I just start asking the question, did they do it? You know, I mean, like, can someone have the conversation with me that did they do it? You know, that's all I want. Well, I just want to know if they broke in recruiting violations. That's all I want to know.
That's what I said to you on last Wednesday, was there are two separate conversations that need to be had. And I agreed with you on that. I still do not take the NCAA side, but I do agree with you. Yeah, I mean, they're guilty of something that should not be illegal, but they're still guilty of doing it, which makes the whole conversation messy. I had seen, by the way, the thing that pisses me off is how upset some of the Tennessee fans have gotten over the pronunciation of Nico's name, which nobody has said Giannis Antetokounmpo's name correctly in his entire career. There are just a couple of guys that have ridiculously hard names to pronounce. Nobody says Tua's last name for a reason, because nobody can pronounce it. It's hard to pronounce. Listen to the argument first, and let's like relax on the pronunciation thing. It's people from Tennessee act like that, you know, there's like this, the self-righteousness in making sure that his name is pronounced correctly.
I guarantee you that they don't even know how to say it. Do you think guys from the tops know how to say his
name?
That's
my whole damn point. Okay. That's my whole point.
So, look, I just think I needed to address that specifically on this show, because a lot of people are mad at me. Okay. Well, continue to be mad. I really don't care. But we do got a good show in store for you, so let's get right into it. I do think, Joe, that you and I are going to really debate on this first topic of the new UCLA coach, Deshaun Foster. On where we see this thing going. I'm happy for him, but we'll talk about it. So let's get rolling. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share to all those social media groups. If you're on Facebook, share to all those groups, share to all your social media pages. You're watching us, listening to us on YouTube, like, subscribe, and notification bell wherever you're listening to us on the podcast platform. Rate, review, and subscribe. And a lot of you have mentioned to us about Google Play going away. Just head over to Apple, head over to Spotify. Yeah, Google's going bye bye.
Did people reach out to you about AYS or us?
AYS, but
okay.
I mean, just in case. Just go over to Spotify, go over to Apple Podcast, or Joe, basically Google's just going to YouTube. They're making you put your podcast on YouTube. Anyway, we're talking about show stuff when we don't need to be airing it.
Nevertheless,
rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Do that for us. Give us that 5-star. We got, look, I'm, you know, climbing on the audio. Okay. So do that and do us a favor. All right, let's get rolling. Chance Babin says, roll out on the football. Is that oxymoron? That's where I played.
Yeah, come on, man. What are we doing here? Hey, man, Rhodey is a good improving football program, okay? I'm just going to leave it at that. They'd beat Southeastern if they played them.
Right now they would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in
the past. Yeah, you get your cheeks clapped. I
don't know, but I don't think it'd be that.
My team, the best team that I was on at Southeast, and the best team that you were on at Rhode Island, we'd clap your cheeks.
Three guys go to the NFL.
Joe, we had a guy have a pick six against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. He was a second round pick, a first round pick.
Who was it?
Robert Alford. So hush.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, and they had me.
Well, I don't think that counts for much.
Oh, it probably didn't. We got lots to talk about. We talk about it next. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back!
Texas isn't. All right, Joe, let's get rolling. So today, okay, let me do that again. Mulligan, okay?
Okay.
Because we got to clip this and let me bring that again. Today, UCLA formally announced their next head coach of their football program, it being Deshaun Foster, who was the running backs coach, obviously was a running back at UCLA back in the day. I didn't know this until today, but a Hall of Fame guy from UCLA, he's in the UCLA Hall of Fame. Joe, your thoughts on Deshaun Foster being the next head coach? And let me ask you, I know you saw it, but the players really are excited that he is back in their head coach. But what do you think of the move of Deshaun Foster at UCLA?
I think there's two sides to this. And it's kind of crazy. We're at this point where we're talking about UCLA football on this show, and we're talking about it this seriously. And we spent a lot of time talking about Chip Kelly. I think the one side of this is the excitement for a guy like him coming back to the program, who was one of the better players in the program's history, was a decent player in the NFL, and is clearly very liked by the current roster, to the point where we all saw the video. They were extremely excited when he entered the room as the next head coach. They were all cheering. They rushed down to greet him. It is clear that this is a guy that the current roster can rally around. And more importantly, most of the guys are not going to leave because they're going to probably want to stick around and play for him. You can also remain and keep continuity with the current coaching staff. It's great to know that most of those guys aren't going to get screwed over and end up having to either be jobless or find a new job, take a year off, whatever it might have been. But I'm a little bit concerned because I don't think that this was the best option for them. He's never been a head coach. He's never been a play caller or a coordinator. I'm a bit wary of hiring guys that were position coaches that were former players for programs because it doesn't always work out when you don't have enough experience to back it. I still firmly believe, Blake, that they should have hired DeAnton Lynn. I don't even know if they considered it. My whole point is that they had plenty of time to figure this out. They had a whole week if they wanted to, because it's not like they're competing for other candidates like other programs were. They could have sat and really looked at their options and figured this thing out. And I think if they did that, they would have hired DeAnton Lynn, who was a phenomenal defensive coordinator, and I think in the future is going to be a brilliant head coach. But this could work out. I don't think it was the best option on the table.
I think that this is a patchwork job. Or they view it as a patchwork job.
Yeah.
I really am rooting for Deshaun Foster to be good at UCLA, because when you have that much buy-in from players, I want – that means – and, Joe, it wasn't just a position group. Like, dude, the entire team went nuts, okay, when he walked through that door.
Yeah.
And he was announced as the next head coach. It is a lazy hire. It is a very lazy hire. And I look at this and say to myself, what I want as a fan, okay, of college football is I like Cinderella stories. I like stories where, like, look, a lot of people are going to count them out. No one really expects them to do much. You have a guy that loves that program, clearly comes back and is trying to salvage UCLA football. But I got to admit, even though the players like it, and I'm glad that I thought we would argue on this, but I guess we won't. I just don't see the success. Okay, I don't see where they're going to have success. Now, Joe, I will say now, they do have some decent pieces on their roster. It's not as if that the cup is completely barren there.
Yeah.
Now, how much buy-in does he get from this team to where they put their head down, get to work, and he gets some wins that maybe he's not expecting to get? But they got to go, like, even in the non-conference, they got to go to Baton Rouge probably at night. They're not winning. Okay? Now, you can say I'm biased there because I cover LSU. I'm LSU. They're not winning at night in Death Valley. It's not happening. No. Okay? Not with their current roster. Then they got a whole Big Ten schedule. I want him to succeed. I love it when – so let me give an example. I love it when guys go home and try to salvage something and the program that they love the most. I want them to win. But hiring a guy like yours, Orgeron winning at LSU, Harbaugh winning at Michigan, Joe, those are so far in and far between – you could have Mario Cristobal in Miami. How's that going? Oh, by the way, Manny Diaz didn't work there either. Just because he's your guy and he's been there and he's been a running back there, had a great career in Carolina, had multiple years. We had a couple 800-yard rush. I remember as a Saints fan, he used to kill us a lot of times. I hope he has success. Joe, I think this was laziness, pure laziness. And I don't think the UCLA fans – which I saw message board geniuses tweet this. They are not happy, nor should they be. Because, look, you're hiring a guy with zero experience. And, Joe, it would be one thing if they were still in the Pac-12. I would say to myself, hey, man, there's weird stuff that happens in the Pac-12. You have a brand-new head coach that's never been a head coach trying to pioneer a completely different move into the Big Ten. Just don't think it's going to go over well. And we could be having a conversation a year from now that, look, man, it was a patchwork job. It really didn't work for him. And here we are.
That's the only part that I don't agree with. But it sounds like you and I have the same take here. That it's a feel-good opportunity here.
Feel-good story.
Right. And it is going to at least keep the current guys on the roster happy. Right. Like that is the worst thing that can happen if you're UCLA is to take way too long with this, which is more than a week, hire somebody that the current roster doesn't love, and then everybody jumps in the portal and leaves. That's the worst case scenario that could have happened. Right.
Can I ask you a question?
Okay.
Because I've had, just to interrupt you, and I want you to interject on this. I've seen a lot of people say that. Okay. Like, hey, you got to hire this guy now because you don't want the roster. Well, this is a four-year decision now. This isn't just a four-year decision. Why do you keep saying that?
I think there's a sweet spot, though. I think that this happens on Friday. They rushed, as I said earlier. This is rushed to try and make this move and make your hire by Monday after him leaving on Friday. That's too quickly. I think they have at least a week. I think that you've got at least a week to figure this thing out. I agree with you. I think that there is a right timing to not rush the process. Like, I actually think that the Sharon Moore move, that wasn't rushed. That was the right amount of timing that it was, I believe it was Wednesday or so when it had happened. It wasn't over a weekend. They knew who they were going with, and the news came out a little earlier than it was supposed to, but it was still going to be an ongoing process. I just feel like, as you're talking about here, while it feels nice for UCLA football, it does feel like they're just going with the easiest option. And as you said, it's lazy. It is lazy to go with somebody who has no coaching experience that you know would immediately say yes. That's what it feels like. That's why I don't take it very seriously. Again, this could work out well, but this is not the type of guy that you want to be learning on the job. This isn't Marcus Freeman, where we knew he was a great recruiter and we knew that he was a brilliant defensive coach, and him learning on the job, I'm a little less scared of it because he's at least three steps ahead of a guy who was a position coach. A position coach to a head coach is a huge, huge jump. And I still stand by D'Anton Lynn would have been a better option because that is a proven guy who I think is the next up to be a great head coach. Or I would have even gone with David Shaw, whose son is on the roster. I think that if you were going to go in any other direction and try and get somebody quickly, either of those guys would have been better than Foster.
Joe, I got to be real with you. There are thousands of coaches that would have been better fits.
I don't know about thousands.
Okay.
We probably could have put together a list of like five to seven guys that would have
been better. There are 25 options. Head coaches somewhere else that would have taken the UCLA job that would have been better.
I think that's a little.
Joe, he's never called
a little plays. Too critical.
He's never been
a head
coach.
Like, I know.
Let me ask you this question. If any place anywhere else at any given moment hires a position coach to be their head coach, you would ridicule this worse than anything. What you can't do in coaching searches is because it's a program that, it's just little old UCLA. You can't do that.
I don't disagree that there are options out there, but I'm not going to completely discredit him to the point where I'm going to say that there's a multitude of options at the lower levels that they could have gone with that were more qualified. I mean, again, Foster could end up being a good head coach in the future. There's a possibility, but it was too soon of a move.
I want him to succeed, but Joe, there's nothing in his tenure as a coach that would give me any faith that he can lead a program. Now, I think he can have a decent year one. I think because of that roster, he could have a decent year one. Now, here's what he's got to do to have success. Joe, there's only one thing he's got to do. You ready?
What?
Recruit. And I understand the limitations that he may have at UCLA. But let me tell you something about this game of football that we talk about so much. Joe, it's not that hard of a game. You could line up and run inside zone, and if you have better personnel, you're going to win. That's just a fact of football. Teams that run the football at an effective clip, you know why they win? It's not an innovative play call. Inside zone's not an innovative play call. This game is simple, and sometimes we make it not so simple. Now, Joe, can he recruit? Does he know the dynamic of recruiting? Now, he's a guy from North Carolina that went from North Carolina. Yeah, he is.
He's from Tustin.
Born in Charlotte, North Carolina.
But he went to high school in Tustin, California, which is
okay.
Orange County. So I was going to bring that up.
Well, then I digress. Saw where he was born from, and it's in North Carolina, but from Tustin, California. Getting back to the point, though.
Yep.
He can come in there and recruit. And I will tell you, that's something that Chip did not do. Let me ask you this. I do think that there's a scenario where he could be better, a little bit better, because he can get better personnel in there. I think it could be where the play calling and being a head coach is what he would have to learn on the job. He can instantly be a better recruiter than Chip.
So that's where I'm optimistic, at the very least, that this thing could trend in a strong direction, but might take some time. I don't know what the rest of his coaching staff looks like. And I also, to be completely honest, I'm not going to be naive enough to just say he's probably a good recruiter because he's from the area. But it does make things easier, as we've seen in the history of college football. Guys that are from the relative area near the surrounding high schools, Tustin is in Orange County. It is near programs like St. John Bosco, Mater Dei. It's in roughly rough range of that. It's near Los Angeles, all of where this hotbed of recruiting.
Carson Palmer in the championship game. I read.
Is that actually what it says on Wikipedia?
On his bio, he lost to Carson Palmer. How about that?
That's hilarious. But to this point, though, that is why I'm optimistic.
Losing to Carson Palmer.
He's got his number, apparently. I think that's why I'm a little bit more, as you were saying, that there's probably a lot more qualified guys. I think that's where there's at least a redeeming quality here, is that him as a recruiter, I can be optimistic that he understands the area. And that's one of the things that we've been most critical of Lincoln Riley of, is not recruiting the area well, because he's not a guy from California and he clearly doesn't understand the values of having guys that are proud of being from the area. UCLA is a program that they could build a roster of guys that are excited to represent the state and represent the city.
Let me ask this question. How much can a former player get buy-in from a booster and fan base?
I think it'd be a little easier than Chip, who clearly didn't care enough to do anything.
Who is an introverted guy who does not get along with a lot of people. Joe, this game is not as complex as we make it out to be.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Joe, I'm watching the Super Bowl last night, okay? The game-winning play to Mecole Hardman is literally a rollout right receiver in flat called Corn Dog. Andy Reid's favorite play. He won this back-to-back Super Bowls with a play called Corn Dog. I mean,
is that really?
Yeah, it's literally what it's called. This game is not that difficult. No. Now, I would not be surprised if they had some success this year, to be honest with you, because I still think they got talent on that roster.
I'm not going to go that far. I mean, it's like a 6-7 win football team if everything goes like
I was going to say. I was going to say they could get to 8 wins. That would be their max.
I think they actually have a pretty tough schedule.
They do have a very tough schedule. Just you know who doesn't have a tough schedule in the Big Ten, by the way?
Who?
Your Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
12 in season for Rutgers.
Okay, right first now. Off, can we talk about something very quickly?
What?
Do you know how I know that the Mafia is they're fans of Rutgers? Can I tell you how I know this? Here's my
conspiracy. They obviously are.
Can I tell you why?
Well,
how did Rutgers miss on Oregon, Ohio State, and Michigan?
You're talking about their schedule? They can't get control over that.
I think that the Mafia. You think
Tony Patini, Mr. Italian last name, has ties to the mob? Is that what you're playing? That has to be the most ridiculous conspiracy theory that we've ever shared on this show.
Joe, they miss Oregon, Ohio State, and Michigan.
How is that possible? That is more of a reflection of the conference not wanting to waste good matchups and them giving them just a very favorable schedule.
What if they would have done that for Washington? What if Washington wouldn't have had to play Oregon, Ohio State, or Michigan?
Because that wasn't going to happen. Also, Rutgers just had home and homes, I believe, with a bunch of those teams that you just mentioned. They played Penn State. They played Michigan. They played Ohio State this past year. So the likelihood of them having to repeat and play any of those three teams that you just mentioned was unlikely. Hey, man, this is a 10-win year for old Rutgers football over in Piscataway, New Jersey. You better respect them.
I think that they're cheating.
Don't disrespect.
The Mafia is involved here. I'm full conspiracy theorist.
Don't do it. Don't disrespect
another Italian.
Don't disrespect Shiano. Don't do that.
Four Italians in a room. Which Italian there and says, I don't want to play Oregon, Michigan, or Ohio State, and it gets granted.
He is an American hero. He is a fearless leader, and he is the greatest thing to happen to the state of New Jersey.
If that would have happened to anybody else in the Big Ten, we would be screaming from the rooftops.
Because it's Rutgers. Who gives a shit if they have an easy schedule? They're not going to the playoffs.
Why are you so defended over a team that that's from New Jersey? And you're from New Jersey.
I am going to defend and respect my boys. I'm going to respect, just like you would defend Tulane, Louisiana Lafayette.
No, first off, I would never respect the University of Lafayette.
All right, what about Louisiana Monroe? Would you or Louisiana Tech?
I hope Carmel Electric takes a big size dump on their chest.
You don't have state pride like we do. Okay, that's the difference. That's the difference that we have here.
LSU's is the state school.
Yeah, but
why do I not have pride?
You only have pride for LSU, though.
All I'm saying is four Italians walked into a bar and somehow Rutgers didn't have to play Oregon, Ohio State, and Michigan. That's all I know.
Yeah, believe what you want. Believe what you want.
I also heard Michael Francesi was in the room.
Francesa? Is that what you're trying to say?
Francesa. Francesi.
Mike Francesa. Is that what you're trying to say?
Francesa.
Don't do this to me. Please don't do this to me. Another great.
That's not how he pronounces it.
Yes, it is. It's Francesa.
You want to make a bet live?
The WFAN host, Mike Francesa.
No, Michael Francesi.
Who are you talking
about? Mafia. The mafia.
Oh.
Guy who got host. Like. Yeah.
None. Never mind. This is the stupidest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Well, I mean, it's just look. The mafia has got controls in college football, and I think we need to talk about that at some point. Okay. I want to move on to this Colorado DC.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, okay. That would be nice.
Well, be careful because Colorado fans, they're so loving.
I'm going to be as vague as possible when we talk about this.
Oh, Lord. Joe, Colorado has hired their next defensive coordinator, Robert Livingston, from the Cincinnati Bengals. Took a little bit of a while for Dion to find a guy to be his DC. Nobody really talked about it, I guess, because it is Dion in Colorado, so it just went over a lot of people's heads. It was not frontline news that it took this long to hire a DC, but nevertheless, here we are. They have hired Robert Livingston. I guess, what are your thoughts on Livingston being the next DC at Colorado?
My two main takeaways with this, first of all, I need to see it in action first. Has not been a defensive play caller, but I'm optimistic. I think that this could be a very underrated move. It didn't get covered at all, which is why I'm saying that it's underrated. One, you're getting a guy that was coaching the best unit on the Bengals defense. Their secondary was very, very good, and it didn't exactly have the sexiest group of players. It didn't have a ton of elite athletes, and he still turned Jesse Bates, Von Bell, and then the picks of Daxton Hill. He turned them into productive quality players. I mean, heck, in a way, he helped resurrect Eli Apple's career, who was a mess up until that point. And
Eli
he looked
Apple
really
still sucked,
but he did a better than he had done in any other location in his time when he was playing with the Bengals. And I, as a Giants fan, watching Eli Apple make a million mistakes when he was with the Giants, it's pretty positive to know that he was able to get that out of him. I think for Travis Hunter, this is great because his development is going to continue. Him becoming an even better defensive back is something that I'm going to watch, and I think that Livingston is going to be potentially smart and creative enough to effectively utilize him as a defensive weapon. I also believe, and I think that as Colorado has been one of the most professionalized teams in college football, one of the most pro-like teams in terms of their roster construction, how they've shuffled players in and out of this roster, how they haven't been afraid to move on from players and bring in new guys. There's a lot of personalities to deal with. As we've said before, and I talked about with the Jed Fish hire and the Belichick hire at Washington, having guys from the pro game on certain rosters makes a lot of sense. Colorado is one of those teams where I think it is a benefit to have somebody who sat in a meeting room with defensive backs that were getting paid a lot of money that he knew how to talk to them and help them develop, that he can bring some of those coaching attributes to Colorado. So I'm optimistic. I think that this could work out. It's not a crazy big name that was brought up all over the place. So I'm optimistic that it could turn out good.
I do think there's something to be said that Deion Sanders hired a secondary coach to call plays.
That's just what I was thinking.
Okay. But I also thought that Sean Lewis was a damn good coordinator, especially at Colorado. And Sean Lewis took a lot of blame, in my opinion, for some of the problems at Colorado that were Deion's fault. See, Deion does not get any of the blame for how the season ended. Because if you remember, Joe, they started off red hot, obviously beating TCU. They had that wild game. The game went down to, oh, I believe, if memory serves me correctly, it was like, what, double overtime or overtime against Colorado State.
Yeah.
They came out of the gate swinging. And offensively, they were really good, okay? I don't know about how their personnel is going to react. I think they do have some talented pieces Like, they got a kid named Quincy Wiggins who could be a defensive end from the transfer portal. They did get some interesting pieces from the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. But I got to bring up something here that I'm just going to throw out there. Sean Lewis was calling some hell of a football games at Colorado this past year, and Deion somewhat threw Sean Lewis underneath the bus. And I do think and have heard from people in the business that Deion tried to hire some people that have been around college football, and they said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want to be around that toxic program. Now, I'm going to take a lot of heat from that, from Colorado people. But it's conversations that I've had, and I know one of them that Deion talked to that did not want to be there, okay? Like, was going to be offered the job and wanted nothing to do with being at Colorado with Deion because they thought Sean Lewis took a lot of the blame and that Deion is not going to blame a lot of the guys that he brings in, these high-profile guys. He's not going to blame them. He'll blame coaches more than players. But I do think that hiring Livingston is very interesting to me. I think that they'll run a four-man front. That's what they ran when he was at William & Mary. It's what they ran in Cincinnati, was a lot of four-man front stuff, run a lot of man-to-man coverage, send a lot of blitzes. I agree with you that I think it's a hell of a hire from an X's and O's standpoint. I just don't know. Let me throw this out there. Let me just ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is Deion not a defensive guy his damn self?
Yeah. I mean, he's not really a play caller, though.
Doesn't matter. He's a head coach. He needs that's the side of the ball that he goes to. He's a Hall of Fame DB. Okay. Arguably the best corner to ever play. So he's hiring a secondary guy to come in here and call plays. They got to get more innovative on defensive play calling. They got pushed around. Look, they didn't have the personnel, but you got to be more innovative. You got to be more innovative in how you do things. And Ken Livingston, who has been known to be a very, very cerebral X's and O's play caller, can he be that guy? Because I don't think they have the personnel. I think they've gotten better in areas defensively, but I don't think that they have anything that's going to wow you on defense.
Let me throw this out there. I actually really think, and this is, I think some might disagree with this and some might not like this because it was so exciting to watch Travis Hunter play multiple roles. But I think
he needs to be a receiver.
I disagree. I think he needs to move completely to defensive back. I think he could be a really, really talented defensive back in the NFL. It is a lot harder to find a defensive back that can move the way that he can than it is to find a receiver
that plays the way that he does.
So if he wants to make his money and get drafted really highly, he's going to be a better defensive back.
I don't disagree with that, but I just think he's shown that he could be a really. Right.
I think that to this point, though, that they've already got a decent receiver room. Like Horn is a really nice player, and he looked really, really good this past year. I just think that if you get him to play three quarters of his snaps on defense, that is going to elevate the defense tenfold. They need to get him to play more defense because that is where they're hurting for talent. And maybe Livingston can help with that. I think that needs to be the focus for them during this offseason, but it's probably not going to happen. I doubt it happens, but it has to be the main focus for them.
I disagree with you that I don't think what Travis Hunter does or doesn't do, I think has no bearing on what can help them on the defensive side. You know what I think it is?
Why?
They need to run the football more. They were dead last in the country at running the football. You know what will help Shedeur Sanders? Taking pressure off of him by running the football. You know what helps defenses? Them staying on the sideline. Joe, they were so gassed 4 games into the season because they played more snaps than anybody in the country. You know why? Because they threw the ball all over the place. They abandoned the running game completely. Now, you went out there and got really, I say, decent, don't want to argue this, but decent offensive lineman, better offensive lineman than you had a year ago. You know what's going to help your defense? Keep them on the sideline. Play a little bit of keep away. Stop trying to pad the stats for your son. Joe, that's what he's doing. I mean, we don't want to have the conversation about what Deion's actually doing, but that is what he's – Joe, they're throwing the ball 55 times a game. They had two games where they had 60-plus dropbacks. You know what helps the defense? Staying off the field.
They had to do that. They had to. They couldn't run the ball. That offensive line that they had was terrible. That offensive line that they had was not good last year. They're going to run the ball a lot more with Pat Shurmur. I'm telling you right now.
15 rushes a game.
Yeah, they couldn't do that last year at all. But did you watch them try to run the football? It was horrible.
3 yards at minimum.
Regardless, they're going to run the ball more. Pat Shurmur is an archaic play caller. He is going to run the ball more. I can guarantee that right now.
Pause. I disagree. You know why I disagree?
Why?
Because they had teams and games where they were running the football effectively, TCU, and they abandoned it. Completely abandoned it. He did not have to get away from the running game. Joe, in the second half, you remember the stat because it was the biggest game in week one, or at least on that Saturday. Joe, the little kid, the freshman, I forget his
name.
Dylan Edwards. Joe, he at the second half, he had an average yards per carry of over 10 yards. What are we discussing?
I just think that you're bringing something up that's not even a factor for this upcoming year. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't. None of those offensive linemen are going to be playing this year.
You can or cannot run the football. You have to some extent, Joe. You cannot with a defense like that. You have to play keep away. Okay, fine. You know what? You weren't good at running the football. Joe, you got to run the ball at least 15 to 20 times a game.
It doesn't matter if you're trying to run the ball up the middle and then it doesn't go for any yards. Like, I just don't understand why you thought that they were going to have success doing that last year. They're going to have a way better, easier time.
I still don't think that they're going to have success. You can't abandon it.
It's a completely different coaching staff from an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator standpoint. It's going to be
shit changes. You know why? Because not shit changed from Jackson State to Colorado.
But no, because Sean Lewis was running a run and shoot passing scheme that called on throwing the ball that often. Pat Shurmur will not throw the ball that much.
Passing attempts at Jackson State.
Because he didn't at the FCS level, it doesn't take much to throw the ball as much as he was doing. He's also a gifted quarterback. He's going to throw the ball a shit ton.
All right.
Makes sense to call on the kid to throw the ball. He's their best player outside of Travis Hunter.
I'm not saying not to throw the football, but you're going to have to establish the lines of scrimmage if you want your defense to have
a shot. How many games of them did we watch last year where they were immediately down and trying to dig themselves out of a hole? Like, what else are you supposed to do?
How many times did Shedeur Sanders have 25 or 30 passing attempts at half?
Just as much as their defense was getting – just as much as their defense was on the field too much and it was in a difficult position, they also were giving up massive leads before the offense could establish any rhythm. The Oregon game is a great example. The Oregon game, the way that they got their asses handed to them, is a great example.
Fine, but you can't abandon the running game. You know who you sound like?
I'm not defending that. I'm not defending that. I just don't understand why you think that they're suddenly going to go into next year with a completely different offensive coordinator who I watched as a New York Giants head coach and Broncos offensive coordinator call dipshit rushing plays on second and long and first and 10.
You're forgetting one massive thing. Who is the head coach?
He doesn't call the plays. He's not calling the plays.
Do you really believe? Joe, this is the worst take you've ever had. You really not believe that Deion will come over the headset and say, start throwing the football more?
I don't. I really don't. I don't think that factors into this at all.
You know what? You got an eye, Joe? You better pick it up. I'll give you Sean Lewis's phone number right now, and you better call him and ask him what happened last year, because he would start trying to establish the line of scrimmage, and you know what Deion would say?
What?
You better suck on my Bill Glasscock.
You're an idiot. I'm pulling up Kent State's passing totals from 2 years ago when he was
way more.
Because they were playing in the MAC, but they still were one of the
30th in the country. They abandoned it. But do you know who you sound like right now?
Who?
Kyle Shanahan in the second half.
I just don't understand why this is what you're so hell bent on with this conversation. Like, I don't think that's what the issue is.
Because
we're wasting our time talking about a football program that's going to win 8 games.
Because here's what I know.
Maybe
regardless of what any football guy tells you. Okay. Regardless, Joe, if you run the ball 20 times a game and you average 3 yards per carry, which they will do. Okay. It eats up clock to help your defense catch their breath and stay on the sidelines. That's that you need to do that, regardless if you can't stop anybody or not.
I'm not disagreeing with you with offensive philosophy. That's not what I'm disagreeing with you on.
All I'm saying.
All I'm saying is that last year's results are not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same thing.
What I was telling you was Jackson State, okay, versus them going to Colorado.
They ran the ball plenty at Jackson State, and they had a lot of success running the football at Jackson State.
Then why did he lead the FCS in passing attempts?
Again. Because having a 4-star quarterback is uncommon at the FCS level, and if you can throw the ball a lot, you're going to do it.
Do you think that Deion isn't trying to pad his son's stats, yes or no?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it really matters.
The fourth quarter when they were up against teams. When they could have easily started clocking it and running the football.
How many games were they up on opponents? It was very rare.
Well, I do remember that they were up 28 against Colorado State, and they kept throwing the football. And they
weren't up that much. Yeah,
they were up by at least 21.
No, they weren't.
They were up by 20. They were up by 21 in the first half against Colorado State. Yeah, they were.
No, they weren't. I'm looking at the box score. It was 14-14, and then it was 21-14 Colorado State halftime. It was the biggest lead.
What happened in the second half?
Then they tied it. They tied it 21-21 or whatever it was.
Different game.
Yeah, you are thinking of a different game. this is a non-discussion because they're going to win 7 games. Are we getting yelled at in the comments by anyone? No.
Probably. Who cares? Okay. Well, I don't have any. The reason I say that is I don't have faith that when the going gets. Here's the point. The real underlying point that I'm trying to make. I think if things start going sour, Deion blames and points a finger at everybody else but himself.
Okay. And he can't do that again. Otherwise, he's going to be out of a job.
Because Sean Lewis, no, he won't. They ain't going to fire him.
There's not 4 seasons of below 500 football,
I don't think he's there 4 seasons.
Where do you think he goes to the end?
I don't know what he does, but he won't be at Colorado long after his sons are there, if at all. All I'm saying is, Joe, to me, okay, I believe that he blamed Sean Lewis for issues that were far more his mistake than anybody else's.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay. I think we got more important things to get to.
So talk about our good friends over at Home Field Apparel. General managers of college football. We'll talk about that next.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan, maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, RuffinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
By the way, did you know a week ago today I came on this show and said, watch out for the Raiders trying to make a move to go up to get Jaden Daniels, and then it was reported by our good buddy Albert Reard that they might be doing that. Do you remember that conversation?
No. You say a lot of things. I don't listen to most of them.
You're so full of shit. You're so full of shit because I tagged you in it, and you're like, aren't you on a show right now?
Wait, when was did Breer say anything on that today?
No, it wasn't today. It was last week. Okay. A week ago. Today.
I should have asked him about it. I saw him. I was at a bar with him.
You were at the Super Bowl. You completely forgot about your buddy.
I should have asked him about it.
Joe, one thing that I think that we need to talk about that I think is going unnoticed and that not a lot of college football fans are talking about is there are a lot of programs that are making moves and hiring quote-unquote general managers. Brandon Harris at Texas football this past week got promoted as the general manager. Other programs, Ole Miss, LSU, Florida, and others have made these type of roles and have hired what is going to now be in today's world in college football, a general manager. I guess, Joe, when you start seeing a lot of this, Nebraska did it, Memphis did it as well. When you're starting to see a lot of these programs make these moves and hire what is general managers, Michigan did it this weekend as well. Joe, am I crazy to think that these people are being hired in these roles to just have money conversations so the head coaches don't have to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's that cut and dry. I just think that roster management is a completely different animal than it's ever been. I think that, yes, you know, we could sit here and say that, oh, it's to prevent head coaches from having to deal with these messy conversations. Yeah, that's part of it. But I think at the end of the day, having somebody who is going to manage the amount of available money for players, which I don't know if they can even really address it and talk about it that way. I think a general manager, different from a director of player personnel, is necessary in the modern version of college football because building a roster and maintaining relationships with players is so much different than it's ever been. A head coach just realistically cannot sit and try and recruit his current roster and then also try and go out and recruit other guys to come play for his program. It's too difficult. I even can go as far as to say that I know that there are football programs that are going to outside scouting consulting in order to better determine and figure out their needs in the transfer portal. Like, that's the level that we're now getting to. We're getting to a world where there's so many different pieces to the college football world that we need to now hire or outsource roster building. It has become that complex of a situation that this is the world that we live in.
How do I want to phrase this question without getting us in trouble? Joe, I do think that you're seeing programs hire people for roles to have conversations that are technically illegal to have.
Yeah.
Am I crazy to think that you're paying a guy a couple of $100,000 a year to have a conversation with kids that he's not supposed to be having? And to that point, I mean, I think that it's a blatant show of college head coaches that, hey, man, we just can't do it, all of it. Like, I see a lot of people and a lot of coaches, you know, and a lot of media get mad at coaches. Oh, this guy's playing golf. This guy's doing this. Well, they need a little bit of sanity to themselves, too. They need a little bit of a break because the college football season, even when you get in the spring and the summer and into the fall, it is a complete grind. But, Joe, you're hiring guys in positions that technically conversations per the NCAA they can't have, but the state law says that they can. Florida State would Alex Atkins would have loved to have a general manager so that he wouldn't be suspended for some of these things. So it begs the question, if you're getting general managers for colleges are hiring general managers, what else is next? Because you're seeing big time universities make these moves.
I actually think that this is the final evolution of this. And I think you actually bring up a really good point. In a way, this is kind of a fall guy. You know, the coach could say, I hired him, but I didn't tell him to have conversations with these kids about money and orchestrate their transportation to go talk to boosters. That I didn't tell him to do that. That was all the general manager. It's just like Alex Atkins, him getting in trouble and getting suspended and getting, I think he got fined or, but regardless, got suspended, all that stuff. You think Mike Norvell didn't know about that shit? You think Mike Norvell didn't know that that was going on? Right. To add a layer, a guy like
texted Alex Atkins and said, "Let me know when you drop him off."
Yeah, hey, can you get this kid a ride? That's probably what it was.
Right.
To that point, though, you add an extra layer of protection. I think that's also part of it. It's very different than the professional version of a general manager, but it's very similar in the same way. A head coach can't be responsible for knowing how much cap room you have, how much money you're spending on certain positions, and how much you're allocating for younger players, older players, and whatnot. You need somebody to handle the numbers. It is something that a head coach just can't. You need a spreadsheet guy. That's what it is. That's what this guy is. He's a fall guy and he's a spreadsheet guy.
And a guy that's that probably is going to have to raise funds from boosters to be able to go into the portal for their team. Joe, I don't know enough about Ohio State's collective. You mean to tell me there's not a guy in a general manager type of role at Ohio State? Because I know that there's one at Ole Miss. There's got to be one. So unless Ryan Day is orchestrating all of this himself, which I don't think that he is. So I look at this and say to myself, like, man, you have so many universities. I think a fall guy is an interesting way of putting it. But guys that are going to make money decisions based off of the roster. And it's crazy to me that we're here and that no one blinks an eye. No one's blinking an eye. People are like, oh, well, this makes sense. So, okay.
Mark Pantone is the general manager at Ohio State.
See? Had no clue, but knew that they had one. You know why? Because look at what they're doing in the portal. That's how I know. Guy that can go and raise funds to get money for the portal, and the head coach can't go and have those conversations. It's not his duty to do that.
I actually think that the next wave for this is that the second most hire in the next 5 to 10 years on any coaching staff is going to be the general manager. Like I really do think that we're going to get to a world where we're talking about general managers as like a huge name in the hiring cycle. I really think that that's where this is going to.
Well, we're already somewhat there.
Outside of Billy Glasscock having a funny name, like how many guys do we really know?
I was about to go there. I don't care that it's LSU. Just stay with me. We saw an SEC head coach who had 11 wins this year and won a New Year's Six Bowl throw a tantrum on Twitter like a baby because LSU went and got his chief of staff, which is AKA the general manager. I mean, Joe, he was on social media throwing a hissy fit, constantly tagging people at LSU about the game that they played this year.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that that Austin Thomas was not that important? Like, you got Kirby Smart sending out tweets and links to their collective. So it's amazing to me. I think we're there. I think that this is the start of all of this.
Yeah, this is I'm wondering how soon that we get to that point where general managers and heck, I'd be really, really interested to see if we end up starting to see NFL guys that are head scouts. Right. I'm curious if that ends up being the next thing.
They don't have to go through scouting.
Yeah.
Because the coach has got to go out
there. Draft. You don't have to draft. They can just say, we want this kid. Can you go get him? It's crazy
because coaches want to get to the NFL for less stress. I wonder if JMs want to come to college football for a little bit less stress.
It's not a bad point. You get to negotiate with whoever you want, whenever you want to.
The money's
free reign. Yeah. Yeah.
Just got to go raise the money. All right. Interesting conversation that I think we're going to have to continue to have. Till Wednesday. Good show, my man. I thought that Sean Foster would be the thing that we argued about the most, not Deion Sanders.
We wasted so much time. Talking about Colorado football is the most toxic thing that happens on this show.
It's a soap opera.
It derails the show every single time we do it. Every single time.
That's why we love it, though.
I disagree.
You don't love the show?
No, I love the show. I just don't like talking about Colorado football.
Don't make me laugh because I'm going to start coughing hysterically. We'll see y'all Wednesday, guys. Well,
Wednesday. Oh, wait.
I'm fine. I'm good.
Okay, maybe we'll go on Wednesday.
Maybe we'll see you earlier in the day on Wednesday because it is okay. Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all then. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.